Let me ask you a personal question that you may want to reflect upon. What is the worst situation, the most extreme danger, the toughest difficulty you've been through in your life that you have found no solution just yet? Ano po yung pinakamahirap na problema, pinaka mabigat na problema na inyong naranasan na pinuproblema na wala pang kalunasan? Have you seen a tornado before, personally? I've seen a little tornado, but then it's not that big. In August 2018, if you've heard about this, a 77-year-old man was found dead outside his destroyed residence after a tornado touched down in Alonsa, Manitoba. Yes, right, Manitoba. Alonsa community is about 165 kilometers northwest of Winnipeg. That is 10 kilometers west of Manitoba Lake. And that is maybe about almost 2 hours drive from here if you're driving the right speed. It was reported that the tornado may have been in the on the ground for up to 45 minutes. Wow. 45 minutes, that's the worst. Just imagine the experience. And not only that, we also have experienced different calamities in this province. This spring, there was this flooding in the southern Manitoba. And in our city, police officers and concerned citizens are busy responding to criminal activities. So we have this personal and communal problems that it affect everyone. This is a reality that we've got to accept. And we as believers should be ready to seek God's help. Most often, kadalasan ito'y tinatanong natin, why does God allow us to encounter difficult problems? Bakit po hinahayaan ng Panginoon na tayo magkaroon ng mabibigat na problema? Can we readily accept and have peace in our hearts and our mind that God is preparing something great for us when He allows problems? Matatanggap ba natin yun? How can we understand more clearly about His plan? Paano natin maintindihan na mayroon ngang totoong plano ang Panginoon sa atin na napakadakila? We need wisdom from God. God has already prepared this series of events, pleasant or unpleasant, to prepare us, to educate us intellectually, to strengthen us physically, mentally, and spiritually, and to develop our character proportionate to the design He had for us. If, for example, God is hoping you to be successful in business, it's not very proper that you don't have financial education. Malulugi ang iyong business kung wala kang kaalam-alam tungkol sa pera. This is why people who have won lotto have easily squandered their millions in just few months, not even years, because they don't know how to handle money. Now, you might be thinking about this. Siguro, dahil wala akong kaalam-alam sa paghawak ng pera that God does not allow me to get rich. It is probable na hindi ka marunong humawak ng pera at hindi inayan ng Panginoon na yumaman ka. Why? It's not a good testimony. Right? So are you hoping to be successful financially? Ask God for financial education. Are you hoping to be great or famous? Ask God to have wisdom how to handle life of a famous person. It's kind of like that. So when God allows these events to come into our life, it's His way to prepare us. Events are a significant part of God's plan for you. Can you agree? Do you agree? That when events are simple events, great events, these events, pleasant or unpleasant, desirable or undesirable, even unavoidable events or avoidable events that God allows you to experience, God is molding us into a person He wants us to be. James 1, chapter 2, verse 5 says, let's read this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, look at that. It started with, consider it pure joy. And ang tanong, bakit natin ikinoconsider na kagalakan ang mga trial? We don't understand. In verse 5, it says, because we lack wisdom. We need wisdom to understand and be able to consider trials as pure joy. Ancient Greeks have this high respect for intelligent, Aristotle, Plato, mga Greek no mga ito ay, they respect them, they love them because Greek love wisdom. Human intelligence and wisdom can never know God. Yes, we can never know God with our limited understanding. Maybe a partial of it, but to fully understand and know God, it is impossible because we can only know God personally and intimately through faith in Christ. Kaya nga sinasabi, by faith we believe. It's not by reason we believe. It's not by intellect we believe. It's by faith we believe. Faith in Christ. Actually, if you are very certain that you have received Jesus Christ, if you have received Christ's Spirit in your heart, you have also received wisdom, the wisdom of God. Yet, why is it that it's hard to understand events He allows to happen then? Kung we have Christ's Spirit in us, and we have the wisdom of God, Christ, the wisdom of God, why is it that we don't understand easily? We must allow Christ to lead, to guide us, to teach us more intimately. That's how we can access to God's wisdom. After the Lord revealed in a dream about his future to become greater than his brothers, Joseph may have been expecting a great life. Well, in my dream, my brothers bow down to me. In a dream, I am greater than them. And in his excitement, he told his brothers and his father about this dream, but they did not like what they heard. They didn't like. They cannot rejoice with him that this favorite son will become greater than us. That's not going to happen, they thought. But God revealed it to Joseph. So what they did is, instead of smooth sailing to greatness, this undesirable and favorable turn of events brought Joseph into prison. Wow, how can one become great when in prison? I don't know if Joseph was asking, Lord, I thought you want me to become great. Why am I lingering in this prison cell? Nevertheless, the Lord made him successful in everything he did, even in jail. Then a glimpse of hope occurred when Pharaoh, king of Egypt, got angry. Let's read again verse 1 to 3. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. It's good that this event did not happen in this generation. Pharaoh could have been criticized endlessly through social media if Pharaoh is the ruler of Egypt this generation. And the cupbearer and the baker could have uploaded their concern in their social media accounts, and their followers would rally behind them. We understand that leaders who are smiling and politically correct, they are more famous than angry leaders these days, or stoic leaders. When Pharaoh was angry with his cupbearer and chief baker, did God prevent him not to execute them immediately, but send them first to the captain of the guard? Now, was the captain of the guards the same captain of the guard named Potiphar who put Joseph in prison? Probably yes, but it is possible that the captain of the guard was also newly appointed in the position. It did not say that immediately after Joseph was put in jail, the Pharaoh was angry to his chief cupbearer and chief baker. It did not say there, so it is possible that it might be after 2-3 years or so. And subsequently, the cupbearer and the baker were placed in the same prison cell where Joseph was confined, and they were assigned under the authority, the jurisdiction of Joseph. It appears like high-profile prisoners were confined in the same prison cell where Joseph was in charge of. What did the cupbearer, what did the baker do to make the king angry? How did they, what did they do? Nothing was mentioned about those details. The story illustrates the sovereign power of the king of Egypt, that whatever they did, it doesn't matter. What matters is that he decided to put this chief cupbearer and chief baker in jail. It says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35, and Proverbs 16:13, let's read this together. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant arouses his fury. And the king takes pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Now, this passage may be talking about king, but it is talking about authority, the authority who is over us. And if we think about this, we might think about the authority who is over us. Whatever foolishness the cupbearer and baker did to offend the king was not significant. The king was angry, and he decided to get rid of them. He doesn't want to see them at the time because he was so angry. That's all. The cupbearer and the chief baker were servant of the king of Egypt. The king had this ultimate authority. He had this power over his servants. He can do whatever he wants to do, even if it is right or wrong in the eyes of his servant. He can do whatever he wanted to do. The king decides what is right and proper in his eyes. If he thinks it is right to do, then he would do it. If it is wrong to do, he would do it. He may not do it. And the servants may appeal for their case, but still it is the king's prerogative. It is the king's preference to favor one or disregard the other. We believe and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He is more powerful than the King of Egypt. All kings, all authorities in the entire world combined, Christ, the King of Kings, is more powerful than all of them, all of us. Nobody can stop him if he is angry. And God has all the rights to be angry with us and punishes us for our sins, but he chooses to show his love for us. Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was crucified for my sin. Was crucified to pay the penalty of our sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, let's read this. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We have sinned. We deserve punishment. Yet the Lord forgave us. When we repented our sins and trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we trust that God can save us from eternal punishment, do we believe that the Lord can also save us from temporary punishment caused by problems? In comparison, the cupbearer and chief baker did something that offended the king of Egypt, and the king of Egypt was angry. Immediately, they were imprisoned. Do you think they deserved punishment? Did the king investigate if they committed a crime? Probably. Probably the cupbearer was wrongfully accused together with the baker. Later, we'll find out in the next passage that the cupbearer was restored to his position and the chief baker was executed subsequently. Maybe these two are friends, and this chief baker is the promoter of what offended the king, and nasali lang itong cupbearer. In prison, both of them were assigned to Joseph's care. Let's read again verse 4 and 5. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, it's of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and its dream had a meaning of its own. Joseph attended to their needs, to the needs of the cupbearer and the chief baker who were assigned to him. Joseph was imprisoned much earlier and knew prison life better. He attended to the needs of prisoners assigned to him. Joseph was a picture of Christ attending to human needs, human imprisoned by sin. How? Christ was persecuted. Christ suffered the worst problem of mankind. What is the worst problem of mankind? Christ understands our problems completely. No problem of mankind that the Lord cannot solve, really. What is the worst problem of mankind that we can never solve? What? Death. Death is the worst problem of mankind. No human can solve. When Christ resurrected, he proved once and for all that he is the Lord of Lords. He can attend to our needs and solve our problems, even death. Amen. Did you agree with that? Don't hesitate to say amen. It's okay. When you say amen, you're expressing your praise to the Lord. You agree, and if you agree, it means you are strengthening, helping you to grow in your faith too. King David advised in Psalm 55, verse 22, let's read this. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. That's the King of Israel, King David. He knew what he's saying. He experienced it himself. He had a lot of problem, much problem, worse problem than many of us. We are also instructed in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read this. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, it is by faith we believe that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Many times we quote this passage, God will never leave you, God will never forsake you. But there is a prerequisite to that. One thing that may cause us to worry is when we are not freed from the love of money. When love of money imprison us, there's a lot of worry. When we sense no contentment, if we are not contented with the things God has given us, it practically proves a shaky faith. This phrase, love of money, can also be interpreted as covetousness. It's more like materialism or greed. I want more, I want this more, I want this more. It's not only the money or anything that money can buy, I would say. Most often, greed can cause us trouble. Now, fishing season, who among you went fishing? I went fishing, nakahuli ako sa burbot. Binalik ko. In the countryside, somewhere in Asia, sa amin po, ito sa amin ganun, sa amin po, fishing is not regulated. The river in my hometown is pristine, so clear, so beautiful. You like to swim there. People from Baguio City would come to our small town and just, wow, this is hidden paradise, they would say, because of the river. They love it. And there are a lot of fish in our time. I can fish all day long. And that was the problem. There was no regulation of fishing. We fish well, however we want, how much we want. And greedy fishermen use dynamites. Using dynamites, it kills the small fish and it won't grow. Others would use a pesticide or whatever, poisonous things that would kill or maybe make the fish faint and so that they can catch easier. Now, when older people tell a story, when we tell about this story of abundance of fish in our generation, the present generation may wonder, what happened? Where's the fish? Where did the fish go? Well, it's wise for the Canadian government to regulate fishing. But still, some unconcerned individuals still try to catch fish more than the limit required by the government. Last year, accordingly, in August 2018, it was reported that Manitoba conservation officers confiscated about 122 walleye from a group of American fishing near Lynn Lake. You know where Lynn Lake is? Lynn Lake is about 1,077 kilometers north of Winnipeg, about more than 13 hours drive. And this American from Minnesota or Oklahoma, I think, after pleading guilty, their fines total to $6,992. For 122 walleye, and you pay six almost 7,000, bili ka na lang ng walleye dyan sa superstore kung meron. Sayang, di ba? There are endless ways humans would covet something they want. Most often, criminal activities pay the price. So learn to be satisfied with what you have. And you will discover that the Lord won't leave you nor forsake you. It's real. In your office, when you start bringing home one paper clip, how much is one paper clip? Maybe it is 1 peso or 25 cent. Peso, not dollar. Maybe 0.00 cent dollar. If you start bringing one pin from your office. Later, you will bring one box. Later, you will bring one rim from your office. And later, it will increase. That's sin. Sin is real. And if it starts holding onto your heart and mind, it becomes problem, bigger problem. It was not just a coincidence that the cupbearer and the chief baker were assigned under Joseph. They were imprisoned for God's purposes. Did Joseph see a glimpse of hope when he told the cupbearer and chief baker of the king of Egypt that God can answer their confusion about their dreams? When he heard their dreams, did he think, oh, this is something God is preparing for me? I don't know, but let's read verse 6 to 8. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had a dream," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." Now we'll learn about their dreams next time, but we'll study first this passage. Joseph was diligent. He was responsible. That was why the warden entrusted to him his duties and responsibilities. When it says that Joseph came to them the next morning, it implies that that's part of his duties to make sure that prisoners were all right. Are you okay? Have you eaten? What do you need? What can I do for you? Maybe those are the questions he had asked earlier, but it was not mentioned. It's more about how he observed them dejected, sad. Joseph, he observed them and asked why. Was Joseph kidding? Joseph, are you kidding? Why did Joseph ask them why they were sad? Are there prisoners who don't feel sad being in prison? If you are in prison, where you say, "Yeah, I am in prison." So why do you ask me I'm sad? It's sad, but it gives us this question. Did Joseph feel sadness being in prison? Nasubukan kaya ni Joseph na malungkot sa loob ng prison? Or probably the cupbearer were not really being sad in prison at first. Maybe when they enter the prison, well, I am the chief cupbearer, I am the chief baker, and they feel they have more power than the other prisoners. Kind like when a drug syndicate leader would come into into the prison, they would be respected by the prisoners? I don't know. Have you been in prison before? Do you know what's life in prison? You've been in prison, you would see that there are, in the Philippines, they would call the chief prisoner, mayor. Ayan, si mayor. Hawak-hawak yan. He is massaged by the other prisoners. The untouchable, kind of like, you know the story of prisoners back in the Philippines. There are many untouchable prisoners in there. Even prison guards are scared of them. Did you know that? Now, that morning, it's not imprisonment that made them sad or worried. Maybe they were sad that they were imprisoned, but it's not about being there in prison. The king should have trusted the cupbearer for his wine and the chief baker for his food. That was why they are assigned chief baker and chief cupbearer. Those were prominent positions. They have lost. Just imagine, I don't know if it is really true, but I heard the emperor of Japan, before he would eat something, somebody would taste the food for him. It's good to be serve the king or serving the emperor, but it's also dangerous because the taster would be the first to die if ever somebody plans to poison them, right? Poison the emperor or the king. And this cupbearer and the baker, their dreams were related to their respective occupation, previous occupation, and they were nervous about it. Joseph said that interpretation of dreams belonged to God, and when Joseph instructed them, tell me your dream. The question is, did Joseph pray about it? Did he ask God, Lord, reveal me the meaning of their dreams? It did not say. Turns of events seemed favorable to Joseph. He was confident that the Lord will interpret their dreams for him. Now, interpreting dream is one of the many ways the Lord reveals his will to his people. In the days of the Israelites, when they were exiled, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had a dream and could not sleep. And he ordered the magician, the enchanters, the sorcerers, astrologers, the wise men of Babylon to interpret his dream. But the problem was, he did not tell his dream. Okay, tell me my dream and interpret my dream for me. Of course, nobody knows anybody's dream, right? Did you know what I dreamed last night? Can you guess? You cannot. We cannot. And the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, ordered to kill them all, the enchanters, sorcerers, the astrologers, magicians, the wise men of Babylon, that includes Daniel and his friends. And Daniel went to the king and asked to grant them time so that Daniel might interpret the dream for the king. And Daniel returned to his home, to his house, and explained the matter to his friend. This is what happened. The king had a dream. He doesn't want to tell the dream, but he wants us to interpret the dream. So he told his friend, who were his friend? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And he urged them to plead for mercy from God concerning the mystery of the king's dream. And during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And Daniel praised God for that. He declared in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 to 23, let's read this. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise God, you God of my ancestor. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel was very ready to praise God for God's revelation. Interpreting a dream you don't know is impossible, but the Lord showed that nothing is impossible to him, meaning he is watching each one, even our dreams. He knows each one's dream. How did Daniel and his friend find favor in the eyes of the Lord? Why did the Lord answer their prayer? Because they resolved not to defile themselves. Daniel and his friends were exiled in a foreign country in Babylon, but they continued to trust the Lord. Before Daniel became prominent in Babylon, it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, let's read this together. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with royal food and wine. He asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Royal food and royal wine, these are very enticing for sure. We want that. Would you not like to feast with royal food so that you would spend much when you celebrate birthdays and anniversaries? In a little while, we'll be celebrating the birthday of Koy Max and Iverson. Happy birthday to you. We'll be singing happy birthday in a little while. It's their birthday yesterday. And huwag nyo nang tanongin kung ilang taon na si Iverson or si Kuya Max. Tanongin nyo sila personally. All right? What is your favorite food? What is your favorite cuisine? What's your favorite restaurant? Do you like pizza? Did you know? Meron akong chismis. Did you know that the champion of pizza making contest worldwide, the world champion for pizza world champion of pizza making is from Winnipeg. Did you know that? It was 3 days ago or 4 days ago he won. I don't tell where, but you can just type in the internet, search where that, and maybe you want to go and treat your mother there one day, or your father during the Father's Day. I don't know, I want to try that. Anyway, I hope my children are listening. Yet, not a few would save money to treat themselves regularly with royal food and wine. Yet Daniel said he did not want to defile himself, he did not want to desecrate or make himself unclean with royal food and wine. He was satisfied with vegetable and water. How does eating royal food and wine pollute your body? Bakit po masamang kumain nun? One practical reason why Daniel refused to eat royal food was that at the time, they were training for at least 3 years to serve the king. Among the youth that were training, the king would be choosing some of them who would serve the king. The most intelligent person, the maybe strongest or most physically fit person in the group. And Daniel disciplined himself. Not because he did not like the food, but he disciplined himself not to take advantage of the generosity of the king. It was very generous for the king to provide these trainers with royal food and wine. But Daniel and his friend decided not to touch anything of those things. And God honored his decision. Now, they were chosen among the many young people to serve the king. Eventually, together with his friend, Daniel became prominent in Babylon. It says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, let's read this. The righteous choose their friend carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, Daniel had resisted the temptation to defile himself by indulging in royal food and wine. Why? This has similarity with Joseph when he resisted temptation in Egypt. It helps to have a good to choose your friends. I don't know if you have read the news about the top-notch lawyers who passed bar exam in the Philippines. Four of those top-notchers were friends, top 10, they were friends. And that was awesome. That was awesome to know that these four friends, maybe four, five, six place, and they are in the top of the bar exam, in top 10, they were in the top 10 because I think they help each other, encourage each other. So this is one thing that may have encouraged Daniel when it says that Daniel and his friend, and they encouraged one another. Daniel became prominent figure in places away from their birthplaces. Joseph was imprisoned in Egypt. Daniel was exiled in Babylon. To be exiled and imprisoned cannot be very desirable. You don't like it. Unless you are exiled to Canada from the Philippines, you love it. But both of them became prominent in those situations because they chose to obey what pleases the Lord. To be exiled, Daniel was, I think he has a royal blood. To be exiled, being a royal with royal blood, you don't like. Think about this. The rich people in the Philippines do not want to leave the Philippines. They don't want to come to Canada because they are enjoying their prominence in the Philippines. Even if we say that Canada is far better than the Philippines, they love to stay in the Philippines. That was the situation. Maybe at that time Babylon was better, much better than Israel, but still it is better to be in their home country. And some of you, many of you are still planning to go and live in the Philippines, right? Doon yung gustong magretiro. Because you love the fellowship there. Now, to be imprisoned in exile cannot be very admirable, desirable situation, but both of them became prominent in those situations because they chose to obey what pleases the Lord. Are you in a situation where you did not wish to be? Are you facing a difficult problem that you have found no solution yet, just yet? Can you believe that God allowed you to be in that situation because of His special purposes for you? In such situation, remember Daniel, when he resolved not to defile himself. Remember Joseph, when he decided to resist temptation. Pray that you may be able to see that glimpse of hope of His great plan for you. God wants to bless you. So ask the Lord, I want to obey you. Shall we pray?